Hi, we're millennial marketing and technology experts working exclusively with associations. This is Rethink Association, where we dissect the emerging research on how to revamp your approach to appeal to Gen Y and Z, to thrive and to stay relevant in today's streaming mobile world. Welcome to episode 3 of Rethink Association. Last month, we talked a little bit about the Gen Z trends, and we laid out the groundwork for how associations can meet expectations for technology today. We went into how Gen Z really wants to make an impact and how associations can leverage those grassroots movement to satisfy the need for instant gratification and real-time interaction online. This month, we'll talk about the challenges facing associations, specifically how they can solve for Gen Z demands so they can get their messages out on more channels and pivot faster to meet the pace of today's social, cultural, and political environment. 20 years from now, your member base will look completely different, with older generations retiring out of their careers. With an eye on the future of associations, it's important for us to create sustainability by deploying tactics to recruit younger generations. Today, we'll address the three main challenges facing associations and talk about solutions that you can start thinking of now to set yourself up for success. We've grouped these into three categories: technology, culture, and status quo.
Thanks, Nicole. So starting with the first one, with that tech challenge that we're all facing in the association space, I wanted to talk through a couple of things that we just outlined here that we think associations experience them facing. This could be outdated systems, lack of knowledge generally with what the expectations are from Gen Z, a potential budget restriction. So if you're just not thinking ahead like this, you may not even have approval for making big changes. You may not have the right online presence, even, you know, in the right channels, speaking to the Gen Z population. Sometimes there's siloed situations where teams aren't speaking. Maybe the executive board isn't speaking with the marketing team or the data team. And then also we highlighted data hygiene and management issues. So if you're sitting on data that's becoming decayed, which happens with those people that are retiring or shifting careers, then you're not able to deploy these tactics as quickly as you need to. What have you seen in the market?
So I think we need to talk about the staffing model of an association, right? So typically you have the marketing team, and under that umbrella, you might have several different resources that all have unique job functions. Then on the other side, you'll have IT. And IT typically is siloed and they sit away from the rest of the organization because they focus more on keeping the lights on and future projects, right? So what happens is you get this disconnect between teams. You get everybody working on their day-to-day tasks and focusing on their individual department's vision. And in the process, that's what leads to having outdated systems or these gaps in technology. And I think it's really important to focus on how important technology really is to the organization. So you want to make sure that you're having these teams communicate with one another and discuss kind of where things stand. What software are you on? What platforms do you have? Where are the inefficiencies that your day-to-day marketing users are experiencing? And letting IT know so that way they can give recommendations on what can be done to either improve this or what software or platforms need to be updated to get you that optimal experience that you really desire.
Yeah, and last month we talked a little bit about the omni-channel approach and essentially getting the same messaging out, consistent messaging out across multiple channels so you can reach those younger generations wherever they are and have that consistent message, voice, tone in speaking to them. And I think when you do have those siloed systems and you have different teams kind of doing different things, you're missing out on the opportunity to bring it all together into that centralized place. And one of the things that we do really well here at High Road is integration and integrating systems together. And I think that's a really important thing to think about as you move forward. If you do have multiple platforms, you want them all speaking into one database. You want to be able to tie that together to track the interaction and engagement that you have across those different platforms, pull it all together, leverage tools like automation, and building out this omni-channel approach that works for your base.
It's not a shameless plug or anything.
Not at all.
We definitely do integration. So this is like right up our alley at the Tech Challenge. That's where, like, when the pain point becomes too much, the clients show up or the prospects show up to us saying, we have all these problems, whether it's data hygiene, the siloed, really everything that Ariel outlined so well and Nicole hit on with tying it all together. When the pain point becomes, it's hidden in an Excel sheet and you don't know what you'll do if that person leaves, it's time to tie it all together and get it at your fingertips. I think we're already talking about some solutions. So I just wanted to make sure we're hitting on some of the things we originally wanted to cover, which is making the inroads for new tech solutions. That's like bringing partners like us, another shameless plug, keep progressing into omni-channel. What Nicole was saying, we'll always hit on those points, reconsidering platform functionality. So I think we'll hit on those. Ariel, what did you have?
Yeah, I think the power of data really is endless, right? So just really making sure that you're optimizing the potential for using that data, because right now it's untapped, right? There's a lot that you don't know you're capable of doing. There's a lot of information that you have at your fingertips, and just making sure that you're actually tapping into that resource and using it to your benefit going forward.
So I was curious, this isn't on our list, but I think this year there was an explosion of data collected just because people's forums, people are flocking online to kind of communicate in some way, whether you're losing it if you're in Facebook forums, I think. But if you're on actual platforms, apps, or anything like that, what do you think will happen with that? I think associations are sitting on a wealth of data even more now.
Yeah, I think if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So sometimes having too much data can almost be harmful if you don't know how to sort it and use it to your benefit. I think having the right technology stack, being able to evaluate the data in a way that's meaningful for your association, and then using it in a way going forward that's going to add value is what's critical.
Definitely this past year, with everything switching to virtual and people spending a lot more time on, like, in digital platforms, it's a push to start thinking about how you're collecting data and how you're using it. And like you said, we're now collecting so much data. You almost have to find better ways to store it, to manage it, to leverage it for the campaigns you're running. There's not so much of that face-to-face anymore. It's really got to be organized, like, in your digital systems now.
Yeah, I think with the pandemic, it's changed the landscape of everything. The way of doing things traditionally just doesn't apply anymore.
I think it's also really important to focus in on leveraging automation tools. I think it's something that associations are just starting to pick up on, but with the amount of messaging that associations are now trying to get out virtually and the limited resources they actually have on staff to manage those, automation tools really expand the capability of your team and what they can do. It's taking away that manual push and that work that your team kind of has to do on a recurring basis, automates it and really frees up time so that you can focus on integrating your systems and optimizing your tools and digging into the more advanced functionality of the tools that you do have, or moving into new platforms and technology.
Right. And you don't want to remain siloed from IT either, even though it might appear that it's two different worlds. IT is really your powerhouse. That's where you're going to get all of your benefits, all your advantages. That's how you're going to grow and make your job easier and more effective. So work together as one team and really understand what the potential there is, because there might be opportunities you're not even aware of yet.
And bringing this back, we're thinking through Gen Z, like, their expectations are through the roof with how you engage with them. And then that's just going to trickle down to all your other demographics as well. And so we talked about the trends, and I think starting there and kind of making a case, you know, yeah, definitely you don't want IT siloed and being completely separate and outside of plans. And so it needs to be strategic top down. That case needs to be made so that you are, you know, marketing may say, look, I can shave off this amount of time. It's not that you're going to shave off certain days of your week and have a whole job. You're going to be more strategic in how you approach this. And that's when you're positioned for absolutely optimizing on times like a pandemic. And so some associations probably found themselves, the shades ripped open, and all of a sudden they weren't prepared for taking advantage of what we're experiencing right now. And some were. So it's just kind of making yourself ready for those opportunities.
I think this will lead kind of into our next topic, but it all starts with the technology, right? You need the foundation of a technology that supports what you're trying to do, that's scalable, that is integrated, but it's also kind of how you use that technology and what you do with it.
So we covered tech a little bit. I think we want to cover where we're kind of leading into, which is the culture challenge, which a lot of times, you know, right at the gate, it is having that openness to adopt new technology. And then we'll talk a little bit also around the diversity, equity, and inclusion that Gen Z is, you know, they represent as well as they expect, and how associations are really pivoting and turning or leaning into that moment.
Yeah, I think, again, the technology is your foundation, but what are the messages that you're getting out to your membership base, and what are the messages that are going to appeal to those younger generations? So they really are looking for the brands that they support to represent that diversity, inclusion. They want to see pushing towards change. They want to move away from limited perspectives and kind of getting the perspective from different groups and different mindsets.
Yeah, to that point. So it's both inside the association, right? So you want to have different opinions, different perspectives, people coming from all different types of experiences, adding to your general culture. And the membership is going to realize that, especially with your messaging, how you extend that out. And then also externally, like how you speak and what kind of images you show and who you're representing within your membership. So it needs to come from two directions, both internal and then how you push out your messaging.
And you have to think about your goals too, right? So if your goal is to recruit a younger generation, you want to make sure that the person in charge of those efforts, or at least one voice in the equation, is somebody that actually is a part of that generation, right? You wouldn't have somebody that's a vegetarian choosing your marketing strategy for people that are going to buy hamburgers. You know, you want to make sure that they're familiar with the content firsthand, not just through secondhand experiences, not because they have children in that age range. You really want to know what the perspective is from that generation, so that way you get that truthful feedback. So that way you know someone that's familiar with the current trends, that knows how to reach that target audience and what they're passionate about. And I think by shaking up your team and what the diversity with and that team is, it really gives you more value and enables you to go after a lot of target groups that traditionally wouldn't have been in scope.
That's a good point. I think also culturally, it means having difficult conversations, you know, and pivoting to that. So making a space that's open, being really thoughtful in who leads those conversations. So if you can cultivate these opportunities for people to kind of feel included, but also share experiences that they've had so people can have a broader perspective and what people are coming to the table with.
And we're not saying to devalue your current member base either, right? Obviously, you want to consistently give them a good experience and make sure that you're relevant for them as well. What we're saying is not to have one strategy for everyone. If you're targeting different groups, you need to have separate strategies. You need to appeal to that audience, because if you have a message that's generic enough to apply to two different target audiences, if you have one strategy that you feel really encompasses both, then that means your strategy is not effective for either one. And I think that long-term, you need to think about that and think about what you can do internally, culture-wise, just to give you the different perspectives and think through what your plan going forward is going to be. Really embracing change is going to take time. So you want to create a strategy or a plan that's 3 to 5 years out. You want to slowly take steps to make sure that you're executing and covering the gap between now and then, and progressively changing what your model is over time.
We're already naturally leading to solutions, and I think you're hitting on some of those, is that, you know, just you're considering your audience with the strategy that you're putting out there, be considered on the speaker selection. So that goes right to your events and who those keynotes are, how you're kind of setting the tone for what the communication and the content's going to be. Your imagery tone, you know, even with the communication experts and the content that goes out there, being more thoughtful, listen to diverse voices.
Yeah, but I think one other thing that's really important, especially with modern times and all the protests and vocalization, is just to be very considerate of any message that you're putting out there. Make sure you're double checking everything, that there's not kind of a hidden message or a bias that could be present in it. And make sure that you're either intentionally being supportive of one stance versus the other when there are political movements going on, or you're avoiding it altogether. But you should be consistent on your strategy and approach to it, and make sure that you don't unintentionally offend anyone in the process with a campaign that might have had content planned out 6 months ago. Just always do a double check against modern events.
All right. So we're talking about culture. It's a heavy topic, but I wanted to also just talk about, the status quo is kind of like a bad word when we're talking about innovation. And so that challenge tends to be change management. We always highlight that. And then doing things the way they've always been done, that's that status quo where it's working, but is it really working for you in the long term? That could mean missed opportunities. And so any fear of change, anything like that, we want to kind of address.
Yeah. And I think this status quo challenge, it applies towards technology. You've been using this technology forever. It can apply towards internal culture, the culture of the messaging you're using. So it's really anything where you're staying stuck in the old way and not necessarily thinking through how you can innovate. And I think this is really the time to innovate. It's really the time to embrace changing and evolving. And again, thinking about how can we be sustainable for the future? How can we ensure that associations continue to thrive with recruiting new members? It's breaking out of that status quo and starting to think about how can we do things different?
I think the value of having a historical approach to doing things is that you really know where your strengths lie, right? You know what works in your process, why it works, and what the benefits of that have been. I think where the opportunity area is finding where the weaknesses are, right? Considering that alternative view and figuring out what you could change to be more effective. And I think when it comes down to ultimately changing your strategy moving forward, that's not something you can just do at the flip of a dime, right? You want to actually gather metrics, gather data to support it. So you want to have case studies of what you've done traditionally, where you saw those gaps and opportunities, and what the impact was. Do a cost-benefit analysis of how much it cost you to be on an outdated platform due to manual hours where you had to redo a campaign, lost leads, things of that nature. Look through your marketing strategy and approach and some campaigns that were completely unsuccessful and figure out why. Where was the gap and what was the loss or potential loss to your association? When you really put numbers and dollars to it, it helps make it very transparent where those opportunity areas are. So that way you can actually think about a new process going forward. And I think that you'll also be more likely to gain leadership's approval when you have dollars to quantify it and you come to them with a new process and why you think it'll work. And you can even project what the dollars saved or improved would be from that new process, right? So I think just thinking through what you want to address and then creating a firm plan of how you're going to do it, because obviously you can't change everything all at once. You want to set your association up for success and not rush it. You really want to lay the foundation and groundwork for success in the future.
Yeah. And anytime there's change, there's always some kind of resistance. And I think it's understanding where that resistance is coming from, bringing in new perspectives, but also listening to and considering those perspectives or where that resistance is coming from and finding compromise and finding ways to move forward, considering kind of all the angles that impact that.
There's a lot of existing case studies that you can find just by researching online. There's a lot of valuable information out there to help you make your argument without you having to do any heavy lifting at all.
So if you've nodded along to anything we've said, whether you work in silos, whether you work in outdated technology, whether you are in the status quo and you don't have that cost analysis done, you don't have a plan, a 1 to 3 to 5 year plan, then hopefully this discussion and some of these things that we brought up, you're not alone, but there's also solutions out there and partners you can partner up with who can help you plan out that strategy and really get you over the bridge of fear or change management or any of the stated problems we discussed. So we kind of lumped it together in three main categories: technology, the culture divide, status quo, doing things the same way you've always done them. And then we just want you to think through, what if you didn't make any changes? You kept going about the status quo and stayed on the same technology and never diversified, where would you be in 5 to 10 years? And I think just leaving that open-ended can really push some change right now.
This has been episode 3 of Rethink Association. Thanks for joining us.